independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The president is going to seize this opportunity by leading the most significant tax reform legislation since 1986 and one of the biggest tax cuts in the American history.
That's a lot of years, kids. That there's a lot of years. Three decades right there, children. That's a long time. But guess what? Tax reform is a-coming. That right there is White House Chief Economic Advisor Gary Cohn talking about what's going to happen, what they're looking to do. They unveiled it just a few days away from the wrapping up of his first 100 days. President Trump wanted to make sure that he did some of the things that he said he was going to do. And it's actually done a fair amount, or at least has made attempt. I think a lot of people, you know, expect him to do. You had to have known, right? You had to have known they was going to do everything. You're aware of that, right? You had to have known. But some of this stuff is amazing. And what I'm going to do for you is I'm going to save you the minutia and the BS that everybody else is going to talk about. We'll let Gary do some of the talking. I'll make sure that I break it down and keep it simple, stupid, because some of it is just, your eyes would just gloss over on how dull some of this stuff is. But the good news is that, snapshot, more money for you, less complications, less taxes. Hopefully, kicking the ass to the economy, and we see 3 to 4 GDP. There you go. That's snapshot.
President Trump has made tax reform a priority, and we have a Republican Congress that wants to get it done. Well, and this is something that, quite honestly, I hope the Democrats would support, too, because it's good for the American people.
Well, we know they're not going to support it because Trump is anywhere near it. They're not supporting it. In fact, dare I say that they probably have more respect and like for Kim Jong-un than they do for the Donald. Chad, you're just being crazy. I'm kidding there. I hope not. If somebody actually is a Democrat that has more respect for Kim Jong-un than Donald Trump, you need to hit the high road. You need to go. It was a joke. Some of it's interesting. Some of it I think is going to be good. But what you do in a plan like this, this is how politics works, and this is what he is learning. You ask for a lot more because they're going to whittle it down. They're going to whittle it down, and I already see the places that the Democrats are going to whittle it down. You know the places are out there that they've put it, you know, that like you're like, okay, I'm going to do this, this, and this. I know the Democrats are going to go after this, so we'll take that off the table and make it feel like, well, we're taking it off the table, right? So they'll feel like they've got something in this. But really, we'd be happy with this. And if we got this, it'd be great. But we're going to be happy with this.
Taking the current 7 tax brackets we have today and reducing them to only 3 brackets. A 10% bracket, a 25% bracket, and a 35% bracket.
Like it. Gary Cohn right there. The White House. Economic advisor. Brackets are easy. We like brackets, right? A lot of people thought his lowest bracket would be 25%. He surprised everybody. He bobbed, and yes, dare I say, he weaved. Those are fair numbers, right? I mean, those aren't horrible. I like that. You got your 10, right? Right? All the way up to 35? A little something in the middle for everybody? I would like to see just really 2 brackets. 3's okay. But, man, I would just like to see if this is the bracket you're in, this is what you pay. We move on with our life. Everybody to 50 grand pays 10%. Everybody to 250 grand pays 20%. And everybody over whatever it is. And then we stop arguing about it. We move on with our lives. There's no more deductions. Make it easy. Send me a postcard. Just tell me how much money that I've paid in and if I'm getting anything back and I move on with my life and I don't have to fill anything out. That would be the greatest. Easy. I know it's simplification. Simplification is not one of the things the government likes to do. They like to oversimplify stuff by making it extremely complicated, by making your eyes go cross-eyed, and then you have to go hire somebody to actually figure out what's going on.
We're going to double the standard deduction so that a married couple won't pay any taxes on the first $24,000 of income they earn.
Boom. That's a good thing, right? Solid thing. Feeling good about that? Married folk, you feeling good? All right. Congratulations. You're in the game too. Congratulations. I like it. That is a good thing. not just about the rich, even though the rich are going to be, look, anytime anything's done with taxes, unless raising it, it's isn't it funny when we talk about taxes, right? Perfect example is if we give tax breaks and we decide we're gonna look at taxes across the board and how everybody's going to get a break, it's never enough for people who don't make a lot of money. And it's always too much tax breaks for the rich. But we want to raise taxes on the riches. Nobody ever comes out except for certain people and say, well, that's kind of a crappy thing to do. Right? That's kind of like a, you know, you never hear that. Ever. No.
Far fewer taxpayers will need to itemize, which means their tax form can go back, yes, to that one simple page.
Oh, God. That, if nothing else gets done, and there's a lot on here that we're going to talk about, if nothing else gets done, getting it simpler and making it simpler for all of us is a win in my book. If nothing else gets done, and I hope some of this stuff gets done. Some of the stuff they're looking at doing, first of all, the three tax brackets, 10, 25, 35%. So boom, there we go. We got that. Also, the estate tax and the alternative minimum tax, which Trump has railed against for years, doing away with that, right? Doing away. It's going to leave in place the deduction for mortgage interest and charitable contributions, do away with the estate tax and the alternative minimum tax. The estate tax drives me crazy. If you build up a net worth that's worth something, $2, $3, $4, $5, $10, $12 million, I don't feel that you, if you want to give it to your kids, that you should, for all intents and purposes, have them be taxed on it. It's not right. You didn't earn that money. The government, and you know who wants it? The Democrats. They look at that as lots of, yeah, how many times do you hear Bernie? This is Bernie's favorite thing. The transfer of wealth over the next decade or two will be the greatest transfer in the history of the world. Bernie, you didn't earn that money. Why are you so concerned about what's happening in somebody else's home? Why are you so concerned by what's happening in somebody else's home? Oh, that's right, because you need that money so you can make sure your home's in order by giving all the things to the people that want you to take that money and give it to them. I see. Some of the other things, end of 3.8% tax on investment income that was imposed by the Affordable Care Act. Boom, like that. But the big thing when it comes to business, and this is great, 15% business tax rate, which would not only apply to corporations, but also small businesses and other large owner-operator conglomerates, such as Mr. Trump's. I don't really care about that, right? Yes, he's got a big business. Woohoo! But that makes it great for small and medium-sized businesses. Being able to be taxed at that kind of rate rather than a personal income rate, that is huge. That, my friends, is what I like to call bigly, right? You knocked it out to pack with that. That is a bigly, amazing situation right there. Being able to, for a small business, and most of this country, when it comes to jobs and creation, it's not those large corporations. It's the medium-sized and small business across the country, and having them drop the rate down and being able to be taxed at that rate is massive. It's even biglier than big. It's massive. There is always, though, some fraught here with this about what the potential could be should this thing go a little bit south. The truth is there is a potential here that this could add to the debt. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to add to much more debt to this. I don't. I'm over adding to the debt. We need to actually start chopping away at the debt. And while their whole process and hope is more money in your pocket means you'll spend more. Spend more means the economy will take off. The economy takes off, which means you'll have a chance to earn more money. The more money you earn, the more taxes we're going to get. The more taxes we get, the more money you're going to spend. The cycle begins, and all of a sudden, we see GDP at 3 and 4%. That would be fantastic. And everything hits on all cylinders. And, oh, because of that, we'll bring in more tax revenues, which will actually cut into the debt. But that's always a big ask and a big if. This is financial expert Jordan Goodman from MoneyMatters.com.
If this in fact happens and it works, it'll be one of the greatest things ever done, and President Trump would get reelected in a sweeping victory of economic growth. If it doesn't work, it'll be the biggest disaster in history.
That about sums it up. So if it works, great. If it doesn't, well, it's going to be a nightmare for everybody. And the possibility of it not working is, you know, it's politics. You don't know if it's going to work. Because these guys and gals in you know, the CBO and all of this stuff, what they do is they're trying to look out and say, I predict that with all of this, in my best, you know, guess, this is what it will look like. And each one of them is going to find somebody that's going to paint a picture for the side that wants the picture painted. Right? Democrats are going to go out and find an independent, quote-unquote, group that's going to come in and say, this is going to be a disaster. America's going to go to hell. Everybody's going to starve. Rich people are going to get rich. The Republicans are going to find somebody that's going to go, oh, my God, look how amazing it is. It's going to be incredible. The rich aren't only going to get rich. It's all going to trickle down. Everybody's going to be a winner. You know what the truth is? Somewhere probably in the middle. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program. Feel free to 323-538-2423. Speaking of rich, not rich. I got a car out there that I love, but the truth is it's not a looker, but it gets me to and fro, and that's all I care about. Not a big kind of car guy. But one thing I worried about is, what if something happened to my car? And by that, I mean not an accident. I mean, what if my engine died? I don't want a car payment. I like not having a car payment. Kind of frugal that way. So I looked around, and I did the smartest thing I know how to do, which is I got extended coverage from CarShield.com. And CarShield's amazing. I know what it costs to fix an engine and transmission. I've had it done a couple times, and one time I was under warranty. That's great. The other time I wasn't, and it stunk big time. Transmissions and engines can run you up to $5,000. Oh, goodness me. And a lot of you out there, you got cars close to warranty time, and it's getting ready to go past. What are you going to do? Be smart. Check out CarShield.com. First and foremost, your car breaks down. You decide who the mechanic is. They pay the mechanic directly. You could take it to the dealership. You could take it to your favorite mechanic, but they'll pay them. No hassle there. You don't have to wait for the check. Secondly, they have 24/7 roadside assistance. And by the way, in between the time your car goes in the shop and you get it back, they're going to make sure you have a rental car so you can get to and fro. That's what CarShield does for you. They've paid out close to $2 billion in claims, and they're ready to help you. Save yourself thousands of potential car repairs. Get covered like I did. By the ultimate in vehicle, extended vehicle service protection before it's too late. Call 800-856-1441, mention code Benson, or visit carshield.com and use code Benson to save 10%. That's carshield.com, code Benson. A deductible may apply in some plans. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N. What's next for trade? Chad Benson Show.
It's not that he's particularly intuitive or even psychic. He's just weird this way. It's What's Next with Chad Benson.
That's me, kids. What's next? You hear a lot of stuff about trade, right? We're thinking about bowing out of NAFTA, which I think may be a good thing. Look, there's been some winners and losers in NAFTA. We look around. Truth is, maybe we've lost a little bit more than we've gained. Maybe some people have gained a little bit more than they've lost. But it's time that we start looking at everything when it comes to trade, I think, is on the table. Over the last 24 hours, we lost a situation with Mexico and tuna. People freaked out about. I saw a headline last night that says Trump loses his first battle with trade when it comes to Mexico and tuna. And I'm like, this thing's been going on for like two decades. That we were looking at the way that they, Mexico, would sell tuna and how they were catching the tuna to us and whether or not it was being dolphin-safe nets. And they're like, well, and the way that they ruled on it, and they ended up being like $140 million or something that we're supposed to pay to them as fines because we were going after them harshly, unfairly, comparatively to how we looked at other people would sell us tuna. And Obama changed the rules altogether and made it so everybody had to follow the strict guidelines. So, I don't know. Then we've got into a little bit of a trade war over lumber, right? So we're going to have some tariffs with lumber. And people are like, oh my gosh, you're going after Canada. First of all, you know, we import a lot more from Canada than we do China. And I'm going to give you a word when it comes to what happens with Canada and us and as far as imports and why it's so important. Oil. soak it up, oil. This lumber thing, this was, I think, an ode to the likes of the people in Wisconsin, because there's also going to be a battle coming up soon with milk as well when it comes to trade in Canada. But I will tell you this. I think, what is it, three or four or five times more that we import as far as, was it five times? Yeah, than China. Yeah, two times. We import double what it is that we get from China. So think about that. But when it comes to lumber, they subsidize because the Canadian government owns the lumber. Our group here are individual companies and corporations that own it. There's no subsidies coming from us to them. So we thought we put it on some footing, right? And there's going to be a battle with milk. Trade is going to get a little bit ugly at times, under Trump. But I will tell you this. I think in the end, through negotiations and through the fact that we're able to do certain things, like you're seeing with what's happening with China, how we're backing away from currency manipulation and certain trade things because we realize China is our best hope to take care of the madman in Pyongyang. Well, this is the way it goes. But it's about negotiations. And what you're going to see with trade over the next 18 plus months is a lot of tough negotiations, maybe some tariffs, maybe even a few skirmishes here and there. But I think overall, you're going to see a stronger and a fairer trade deal for a lot of our people here. And to me, I think that's a good thing. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, chat at ChadBensonShow.com. You can always text the program, 323-538-2423. Love getting text messages, kids. Love it. 323-538-2423. People are like, why don't you like a lot of phone calls? You can call the show, 844-DIG-CHAD, but I like text messages, man. We're always moving along, right? We're bumping, we're bouncing, we're moving, we're grooving. That's what we do here. 323-538-2423. Kids need to play. That could be one reason why they're so stressed out. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
I got a little dude. The whopping 6 3/4. That there be his age, folks. And by the way, when you're a little child, 6 3/4 is definitely more important than 6 1/2. He is, he's a little boy, like me, man. He was bouncy. I'm bouncy. 46 years old, and I'm like ADHD, bouncy. I need to get out. I work out every day. It is a must for me. It is an absolute 110% must for me. And I will tell you this, the days that I don't work out, or if I miss 2, 3, 4, 5 days in a row, I can tell, you know, I'm a little edgy. It's not a good thing. This I found to be so interesting, and it's so true. And poor Anthony had to sit through the whole of this interview. And while this guy has a lot of good information, Mr. Gray does here, his name is Peter Gray, he's a professor of psychology at Boston College. He is, how should we say this? He is not super exciting, right? He is, he's not. If you were to describe him as a color, the word beige would come to mind. I was going to throw that out there. He needs to get outside. But he talks about the fact that kids are depressed because they don't play anymore. They don't. Everything in their life is structured. Everything in their life is structured. Even when you talk about, like, and it sounds weird. You say, well, kids don't play. A lot of kids are doing stuff. Yeah, but like, when's the last time your kid went outside and played by himself? Like Jack does. Like, but here's the thing. Jack does it by himself. Maybe once in a while he'll have his neighbor come down, but it's always about a play date. It's got to be scheduled. You know, here in California, they're starting to have these PE coaches or recess coaches who come out and they schedule recess. You can no longer just go out and swing on the monkey bars and throw a ball at a girl, and, you know, everybody runs in circles for 25 minutes, and then we all go inside after we've, you know, just exhausted all of our energy at that point in time and then get back to work. We can't do that. Now everything is scheduled, and that's not good. But that's also probably why, you know, these kids are the way they are, right? The advent of ADHD, it's because we don't let these kids be kids. We don't. This is Peter Gray talking about, you know, just playing in general.
Well, first of all, when I'm talking about play, I'm talking about what some people would call free play. To me, it's not play if it's not free. Primary characteristics of play are that it's self-chosen and self-directed. Play is how children learn to direct their own activity. It's how they learn to create activities. It's how they learn to negotiate differences with their playmates. All of that is destroyed when you've got an adult running it.
And one of the things he talked about there, which I thought is so valuable, and I've read about it, we've heard about it. We see these kids nowadays who, many of these young millennials who go to school, and even the ones who aren't the snowflakey kind, but they struggle and they get into situations where they feel somebody's hurt their feelings, or they don't know how to overcome obstacles or deal with situations, even in group size. And the reason size is the big reason is when you're a child and you go outside, and you play with your friends, and you make a game up, and everybody's got their rules. And eventually what happens is you come up with a formative plan of a game that you're playing, and everybody understands the rules, and you put it all together, and some people speak up, and some people say, I want to do this, let's do this, and you negotiate, and you overcome a lot of those things. It is your first step into growing into your independent you, and you're overcoming situations, right? That's part of it. You're being able to negotiate through situations, being able to talk to other people, putting things together, part of a teamwork-like scenario. We've taken that away from the kids because the adults come in. And even if there's somebody who's a bully, a lot of times, you know, how in life, you have to learn how to negotiate through those things. We've taken that away from kids. There's always a bully on every playground or two or three or four. That's life. But there's also a bully at your work. There's also a bully in your whether your softball league or wherever you are. There's also that kind of jerk or bully. You have to learn how to negotiate that, and we're taking that away. We're robbing them of what we had as children, which made us stronger adults. It's not even just about the play. It's about what goes into the play.
Children in a hunter-gatherer culture play with bows and arrows and digging sticks and dugout canoes and so on. Children in our culture quite naturally are attracted to computers, the main tool of our culture. Farming cultures, they play using farming implements. So children are naturally drawn to those kinds of skills and activities that seem important to their culture and play.
Yeah, they are. And I get that. You know, kids, we're drawn to the things that we have. If we had computers when you're younger, we would have been in the same situation, right? We would have wanted to play with the computers. We wanted to play with the guns. We would have wanted to play, you know, those things. We didn't have those. And this is a progression in life moving towards that direction, right? This is that progression. We're moving towards a more technologically advanced world, and that includes our children. And that is okay. I have no problem with that. But they are missing out because everything is about the adults being a part of it. We're not teaching them those things that mattered to us as a child. We're telling them. We're not saying, go work. Remember, when you were a kid and you would be in an argument with your friends, what would your mom say? Go work it out for yourself. You two work it out amongst yourselves. We don't do that anymore. Now they become referees. And they come in, and all of a sudden, they're no longer referees. They're now mediators. You're my mom. You're not supposed to be a mediator. You're supposed to yell at me and tell us to go work it out for ourselves. No, you're a mediator. Oh, you're the go-between. You're a conduit between my friends and I. I get that kids are gravitating towards that, but the exercise and being outside and running down some of that energy when they don't have actual opportunities to play those games, actual opportunities to do those things, and then they go out and they reenact it. Instead of playing bows and arrows now, you know, when I was a kid, we played cowboys and Indians, or excuse me, horrible white settlers and Native Americans. or as I used to call us, you know, we were basically robbers, right? That's what we were, right? We were kind of the robber kids. And so, you know, we had this, we played, you know, I was Billy the Kid. I was Wyatt Earp. You know, I was Sam Bass. That's who I was. But nowadays you can't do that, right? Because it's racially insensitive. And kids don't know what cowboys and Indians are because they don't really watch Westerns. But you know what they do? They go outside and they play Halo, right? That's what my son does. He didn't even play the video game Halo. He just thinks the Halo toys are neat. And they all run around going, pew, pew, pew. They play Lego Batman. Pew, pew, pew. They do those kind of, that's what they do. But being told that and how you act like that, that's not. But the big thing of all the stuff when I read this article and when I saw this, the thing that came to me that is so true, because we're trying to mold these kids into being perfect, and we're saying if they're too crazy, they're too wild, or too much of you know, too hard to handle, that something's wrong with them rather than maybe something's broke inside the system.
And over this same period of time that there's been this gradual decline in play, there are well-documented, gradual but ultimately huge increases in a variety of mental disorders of childhood, especially depression and anxiety.
Yes. That is as spot on as you're going to get. I mean, think about your kids and, you know, and you, when you used to go out and play. And if you don't have kids, think about, you know, your nieces, your nephews, or even you when you were younger, and you go out and you play and you ride your bikes and you do stuff, and you would burn 1,000 calories, 1,000,000 calories a day, riding your bike everywhere. How many of you have probably ridden 20 or 30 miles on a bike in a day or two with all your buddies? Oh, my God. I don't know how many miles I used to ride with my friends. I used to go to this place called the Marine Pacifica, down to downtown Long Beach, and back to another part of Long Beach. Long Beach is a massive, massive city. I would probably ride 25 miles in a day, 30 miles in a day. No problem. My mom wouldn't even know where I am. I'm 11, 12 years old, and I'm 30 miles from the house on my own riding my bike. But I was never depressed. Yes, I was an anxious, bouncy, ADHD boy, but I couldn't imagine what I'd be like in today's age if I was told to sit there, to follow this strict world, you know, of rules and regulations, and go outside and do it like this, and I would go crazy. And I think about the kids that are just regular, man, they just got full energy. But the depression, being outside in the sunshine, running around. And when I talk to teachers, they'll tell you the craziest, worst days are rain days, snow days. When there's rain and snow and the kids have to stay inside and they can't go outside, that is when they're the worst in the classroom. But nobody seems to put one and one together and say, maybe if we had them play a little bit more, they would be a little bit more focused, and we took a little bit more of the time that they're in the classroom out and put a little bit more of their life of fun and being a child outside, it would work out better. But they don't. They don't get it. Kids need to be playing. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. Gold! I struck gold. Well, you didn't, but you kind of did, and I'm going to tell you how. Goldco Precious Metals. The marketplace that we're in right now is, it feels steady, which is kind of odd. We've got a lot of turmoil in the world. We've got potential trade issues in the world, yet the marketplace itself is staying fairly steady. Smart investors, investors who do it for a living, will tell you sometimes this is a situation where you may need to think, is there going to be something here that gives way and we're going to see a run the other direction or a sell-off? So you'll start to see them move their money around. It's called diversity. Diversity is key. Goldco Precious Metals will teach you about diversity. They'll teach you how to be diverse when it comes to precious metals, which will help you protect your downside in a marketplace that sells off while giving you upside potential when the market starts to run in the right direction. That is amazing. It's two for one. And that's what gold, silver, precious metals can do for you. Goldco is a company I trust. They're honest, they're ethical, they're knowledgeable. They'll actually teach you and show you how to invest properly and diversify your portfolio in ways that other people won't do it. They're just going to sell you a dream about the world's coming to an end. They're not going to do that. That's why I love Goldco. They're honest about how this really works rather than try to sell the fear side of it. Visit BensonGold.com to get started with your free IRA guide from Goldco. That's BensonGold.com, B-E-N-S-O-N-G-O-L-D.com. Check them out. I think you'll be more than happy you did. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Little say what? Straight ahead.
You call it ridiculous. We call it reality. With a twist. Say what?
Sir. Twister! This is crazy. So the Trumpster has a button for the nuclear button. That's what everybody says, right? It's a nuclear weapon button. He can push it anytime. Well, he actually has another button he can push at any time. And what comes when he pushes that button? A Coca-Cola. That's right, a Coca-Cola. Is that insane? There's a special wooden box on his desk in the Oval Office containing a single button, which he has been using to order glasses of Coca-Cola. The rectangular box is located on the Resolute desk, which presidents have used for decades. He's not the only one. With the push of a red button placed on the Resolute desk, presidents have used for decades. They're basically a butler soon arrives, and with him comes a Coca-Cola. That I find to be hilarious. That is great. Oh, my goodness. They said the button pressing appears to be an upgrade from the days of reportedly bellowing for someone to bring some Coke. You got to love that. Man, that's awesome. Isn't that like you always want something like that, right? We always joke about, like, okay, when we get big, you know, if the show gets really big, that, like, oh, we're going to have a Coke machine here so I can have my lemonade and, you know, other people on the show. If they, hey, you guys want a Coke? You know, and whenever people call or we do, like, interviews, and by the way, tomorrow we're doing a big interview. Rob O'Neill, the man who killed Osama bin Laden, is going to be on our show. And we're going to talk to him about how his life has changed. He's got a new book out called, I think it's called The Operator. And we're going to go through that and talk about all kinds of things. But Phil always jokes. He says, would you like something from the buffet? We don't actually have a buffet, but it would be nice if we had a buffet. Some craft services. Like, it's about time we had some craft services. Popcorn would be good, too. One of those little fake popcorn machines, you know, that looks like one of those old-timey things. Something. Maybe a video game? Yeah? Would you like to play pinball while you
wait? Pinball
machine. Oh, fantastic. There you go. Pinball machine. Maybe a Galaga machine would be great. Oh, goodness, man. The wheels are spinning. And after we sell all of our great ideas, Phil, the world's going to be open to us. I'm just telling you, write it down. Great ideas. World's open to us. Jeremy Meeks, you know him as the hot felon. Jeremy Meeks went to London to celebrate his first cover. Now, this is the guy who all the women fell in love with when they saw his face. And here he was, a guy going to prison. He was a felon. He ended up getting out. And every single agency from Ford to whoever grabbed on and tried to latch on and grab him, finally he signed and his life has changed 1,000%. Right? So good for him. But he's still a felon. Flew over to England, got permission to fly there because he had to ask his parole officer in the court. And they gave him permission the whole nine yards. They realized how his life has changed. Took the letters and everything over there. The British stopped him. Looked at everything, took him into a room for 8 hours, strip searched him, patted him down, didn't arrest him, turned around, put him on an airplane, and sent him home. Said, no, you can't enter our country. It's funny, isn't it? Funny. Even when you got a ticket in some countries, no, can't come here. And you got a ticket. By the way, his girlfriend and his agent, everybody were already in London for the big party. So, and he's very frustrated about it. I get it, man. We can all be frustrated with you. We can't. You did everything right, man. You're trying to turn your life around. I'm all about giving people a second chance. And if that's your second chance, run with it, my man, while it lasts. Run with it. Big girls, you know who you are? Not just fat bottom girls. I'm talking about big girls. You guys now have an anthem. Ladies and gentlemen, let's rock it.
I'm about to talk about the women with the curves. I'm about to talk about the women putting the work. And I don't mean to judge, but your body's so superb. Thick hips, thick waist, chubby cheeks, makes a cute face. I don't need a J-Lo, I need an Instagram. Alyssa McCarthy, a lifestyle plus Barbie. She dance on the floor in the life of the party. Or Iskra Lauren, so maybe she foreign. Who love to have fun, don't need someone who boring. Or maybe she sing, I need a Adele. They keep me so happy, my new name for real.